Welcome to Openly Gamer Theater's production of The Great American Christmas Fable, an original audio drama based on the short story by Kevin Barrich. Christmas Eve, and Buck was dreaming. Turkey on the table, surrounded by a bed of oyster dressing, a boat of gravy, a huge bowl of mashed potatoes, yeast rolls, sliced ham, all within easy reach. His stomach rumbled. It was the feast he wanted to provide for Jenny, but times were hard, and even wild game was proving difficult to come by. In reality, Buck and his daughter had silently shared a joyless meal of greasy possum and bitter turnips. Virginia had not complained, even managed a theatrical grin of pleasure. Truth was, with the bank panic, Buck's modest savings evaporated, along with his hope of a comfortable future for himself and Jenny. Now it was a daily struggle to prevent starvation, an inevitability growing closer with every day. The only good fortune or release that could be had was with a bullet. Still dreaming, he got up to fetch some pie when he felt something shaking his leg.
Daddy?
He opened his eyes, blinking away the last of the blissful dream.
Virginia?
The girl stood by the foot of the bed, putting her finger to her lips in a shushing gesture.
I think it's Santa.
His daughter's breath made a white cloud in front of her mouth as she spoke. Buck got out from under a mountain of blankets and hides, clad in red thermals.
Santa? What makes you think it's Santa? The old Christmas elf does get around, but are you sure the Ozarks aren't a little bit out of his way?
His eyes strayed from the Henry rifle beside his bed to the far wall, covered with rifles, pistols, knives, and nearly every other instrument of death devised by man.
Maybe Santa. Maybe not.
He picked up the bolt-action rifle.
I heard him coming down the chimney. Reckon he's halfway down.
The chimney ran right through Virginia's bedroom. Buck opened his sock drawer and pulled out a box of .22 cartridges. Jenny had insisted on not lighting the fire so as not to harm Santa, making it easy for any manner of critter to infiltrate.
Probably a coon coming down the chimney. Possum for Christmas Eve and raccoon for Christmas. Did you hear anything up on the roof? If we were getting a visit from Santa, he would have parked his sleigh on the roof. You'd hear the hooves of the reindeer stamping around up there. They'd make a click-click-clicking sound.
Buck knew from experience. Santa had brought him his first pistol, an old single-shot cap-and-ball type, when he was just 4 years old. In his mind's eye, he could still see the huge flakes of snow falling past his window, hear the sound of jingling bells, and a thump on the roof, followed by footsteps. He had done his best to pretend he was sleeping, but the sound of reindeer on the roof had excited him too much. Santa put the pistol, wrapped in a green and red bow, under the tree, and then he put one finger to the side of his nose and ascended the chimney like lightning going backwards.
No, Daddy. I didn't hear anything on the roof.
Jenny's voice snapped him out of his reverie.
I just got woke up by sounds coming from the inside of the chimney flue. But it's Christmas Eve, and I've been good all year. Santa's bring me the boots I asked for.
Buck felt his stomach drop. She needed them badly. A more selfish child would have just expected to get them as a matter of course. She made do with her ragged shoes and didn't mention it until Christmas got close. The year had been very lean, in every way it could be. And as the year grew longer, so did Buck's shame. He couldn't get his little girl the nice, new shoes she should have for school. He couldn't buy her a new toy for her birthday, or even a cake. He was lucky to put food on the table. There had been some times he'd skip meals because there wasn't enough for two. He had quietly put in a prayer to the Almighty for a Christmas miracle. Given the lateness of the hour, it looked like he'd been declined. He didn't blame God. Buck knew he was a sinner, but it grieved him that the Lord would ignore his baby girl.
Stay here. I'll go see what's downstairs.
Jenny's eyes hardened. The look on her face was the same her beloved Ma used to give him, a mix of irritation and pity.
Your Ma used to look at me like that.
When you act mule-brained, I know.
She nodded to the Henry in his hands.
You think I don't know what the sound a coon makes when it comes down the chimney? If it's not Santa, your coon gun ain't gonna do nothing to it.
She raised her eyes, fixing them to his in stern defiance. A spark of anger flared, but was quickly extinguished. She was his daughter, no doubt. Nodding, Buck lit a lantern, and they stepped quietly out into the hallway and onto the stair. They moved as silently as deer in the woods, his huge and muscular frame causing not so much as a creak on the stairs. Virginia tiptoed, making very little sound except for the occasional muffled giggle. There was something in the chimney, all right. There was a scratching sound like an ornery cat at the door, and a sibilant, high-pitched, inhuman tittering. He walked over to the fireplace and pulled a gray ceramic jar off the trembling mantel, along with the corncob pipe lying beside it. He slowly filled it with the last remnants of tobacco from the jar. His supply was low, but he felt that the circumstances merited breaking out the last. He cherished every bit of the ritual. The smell of the cut tobacco, the texture in his fingers as he filled the pipe and tapped it down, the resistance of the wood safety match against the side of the box as it flared to life. He took the first puff of smoke, and his nerves turned to steel. A thick chunk of carbon the size of a dinner plate landed in the gray ashen mass in the fireplace, sending up a cloud of dust. The small cost of a chimney sweep was a fortune on his budget, had been for a while. The flue had been neglected for a dangerously long time.
No sweep could have knocked that mess out so easily.
Something coughed in the chimney. Buck stroked his beard and stared. Then, as the answer hit him, his eyes widened under furrowed brows.
That ain't no Santa, and it ain't no coon. That's a gall-darn Krampus.
What's Krampus, Daddy?
Her eyes told him that she understood the deep waters they were treading.
I ain't gonna lie, honey. The Krampus is a bad one. You know, I always say that America is the light of the Western world, a beacon for those who wish to seek haven from the darkness of the old world. As our Americans, it is our duty to accept that.
His eyes turned to the soot raining down onto the inner hearth.
The downside is that, sometimes, the bad things follow. Irish brought us whiskey and corned beef, but also their werewolves and banshees. The French, fine wine and loot. Germans, bratwurst, beer, and der Krampus.
Her eyes narrowed in understanding. She slowly turned to stare intently at the fireplace, not a trace of fear in her stance. His breast swelled with pride.
In the old world, the beast was considered the evil companion of Santa, a dark and hungry devil sent to eat naughty children.
He looked at the rifle in his hands.
Judging from the ruckus and the amount of soot, this is likely a big bull Krampus.
What'd they look like, Daddy?
Coarse black fur like a wild boar covering a leathery hide. At least as strong as a man, but much faster. Armed with large fangs, horns, and knife-like claws. They hibernate the whole year away. Don't get up till midwinter. Hungry and mean. They hunt for a house that has children in it. Come down the chimney. If they can catch the kids, they'll haul them away. Gobble them up.
Jenny turned and regarded him. Her flat, cold face gave him pause. Then he noticed the twinkle in her eye.
I reckon it don't know you kill monsters for a living.
Buck smiled.
That he don't.
You killed that werewolf down in Little Rock.
And made moccasins out of his hide.
And now, you're gonna kill that thing in our chimney.
Buck nodded and handed his daughter the Henry rifle.
Take this back upstairs and fetch me the buffalo gun.
She hustled up the stairs as he idly watched the mantle begin to shake. Little bits of mortar began to fall from the bricks as the monster neared the end of the flue, mad from hunger. Thump, thump, thump down the stairs Virginia came, toting a rifle bigger than she was.
Good girl. Now go back to bed and get some sleep. I'll take care of this.
She hugged him tightly as he bent and smacked a kiss onto her forehead. Jenny spared a look past him as huge black fingers with ugly yellow claws as long as steak knives curled around the outside of the fireplace.
Good night, Daddy.
As she bounced up the stairs, Buck admired the rifle. A Massachusetts Arms buffalo rifle. 5 feet long at the barrel, walnut stock, huge bore made to stop the largest bison dead at a full charge. It wasn't needed very often, but having it around was surely a comfort. He drug his favorite old rocking chair across the room, parking it across from the fireplace. Huge, razor-tipped horns protruded downward, And then Krampus could see him. The creature snarled and snapped as it struggled to come out fully. Buck took a long pull of his pipe.
There are folks that'll pay a decent bit of coin for a rack like yours. Rare as they are. Your bristles will make excellent scrub brushes. Your hide will make a nice pair of boots for Jenny. And hell, there might even be enough leather left over to make a pair of those kids' gloves that are so damn fashionable in town.
Buck was no Bible scholar, but he was sure that a wise man had written in there that life itself was mainly composed of the greasy possum of want and the bitter turnips of sorrow. He leveled the rifle, and his Christmas prayer was answered.
The good Lord did provide.
This has been The Great American Christmas Fable. Story by Kevin Burge. Script by Kevin Burge and Eric Ostley. The role of Buck was played by Michael Ross. Jenny was played by Katarina Ostley. Narrated, produced, and directed by Eric Ostley. Theme music by Arthur Varkvazov. Background music by Dark Raven Games, Machinima Sound, and Musica Cthulhiana. Open the Gamer Theater is a proud member of the RPG Academy Network.